Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your basil with frosted flakes eating. I made the most amazing filet mignons on the grill this weekend. Costco during COVID is absolutely the best workout friend.
I'm Bethany, your ghost seeing, binging Jodi Arias' trial. Is the plural of filet mignons, friend?
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about...
Kathleen, I am facing something that I have been not wanting to face for a very long time.
Okay.
And I think that there's a lot of taste buds who can identify with this, and that is the fear of success.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
It has a lot to do with imposter syndrome, and we talk about that basically all the time.
Yep, and it's also, it manifests in really interesting ways. Sometimes you don't even realize that you're doing it, but I know that this has been a problem for me for a very long time, and so I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about how you can get an idea that you might have it and how to help work yourself through it. What about you, Kathleen? What are you going to talk about today?
I love this, Bethany. Well, I'm talking about, in the same vein, you know, very important scientific things.
Yes.
I'm talking about the hygiene habits of the wild, wild west.
Okay, so we, like pulling the curtain back, which you know I love to pull the curtain back, we started some Google Docs for ourselves to try and be a little bit more organized and stay more on top of everything and be able to plan a little bit further ahead.
Yeah, for the podcast.
Yeah. And one of the Google Docs is ideas that we each have for future topics. And I was looking at Kathleen's list of her weird topics and I saw this on the list and I'm like, this is so specific. How did you come to that?
Okay.
What made you think of this?
I'll tell you what. I didn't think of it. A taste bud who listens to this podcast thought of it. And, and I'm going to give her a shout out right now.
Or as my mom calls it, a shout up.
A shout up. Okay. This came from Taste Bud Randy. And on Twitter, she's at Sabo, S-A-B-O, underscore Randy, R-A-N-D-I. And she said, Radio Bethany, Web Girl Kathleen, Acquired Taste Podcast. This article made me think of you too. And oddly, I think you'll totally appreciate it. So Randy picked out my topic this week, and that is exactly how lazy I am.
Oh, why did I not see that? That shows that I need to be doing better at Twitter. If she tagged me in it too, and I didn't even see it. Speaking of our taste buds, you gentle listener and this community continue to just blow my mind. Did you see the most recent iTunes review, Apple Podcast review that we got, Kathleen?
Was it from Frankie?
Frankie.
Yeah, I did. Okay. You know, fun fact, I think Frankie's great-great-grandfather is the inventor of the ice cream cone.
What?
Yes, I know. Frankie.
Okay, that means even more then, because this is coming from someone of status. We got this review, and I just want to read it because it just made my whole day, and it really is everything that Kathleen and I want for this podcast. The review is 5 stars. It says, Frankie tested, Frankie approved. And Frankie wrote, in this time of quarantine and corona, it's very rare to find something that will take your mind off of all the troubles and worries of the world in the blink of an eye. Both of these women have come up with a podcast that will make you go through the gamut of emotions depending on the topics they present in each episode. They can go from a topic that will make you empathetic and cry to a topic that will make you cry because you're laughing so hard. I think Frankie is referencing your Ain Use episode, Kathleen. All of a sudden, you're listening to voicemails of other fans and you realize, wait a minute, the episode is over and you're bummed out because now you have to wait at least a few days for bonus episode, if not a week for the brand new episode. These two women didn't just create a podcast. They created a community for their fans. It's not even so much an episode anymore as it is a get-together. I wouldn't say this is highly recommended. I would say this is essential.
Oh. Well, he has a way with words, doesn't he?
I'm not even reading that to like pat ourselves on the back. I'm saying it makes me so happy that this is that, you know, like that this feels like a place that people can come and find a community, because I know, Kathleen, I think I'm speaking for both of us. Like, that's just what we want.
Well, I won't be here for much longer and I'll tell you why.
Why? Why? What happened?
Because I was going through some of my childhood toys this weekend, and I found the Princess Diana Beanie Baby in very good condition with the tag still on, and that shit is worth $500,000, according to the internet.
Is it really?
Yep, so it's nice knowing you. I don't need to work anymore, so peace.
Okay, I love you, but I think that you might be so profoundly wrong. Let's go on the eBay.
No.
Let's go on the electronic bay.
And my brother had the gall to try and tell me that the Princess Diana Bear was his. I was like, okay, excuse me. In 1997, when she died, or was it 99, or was it 2000? I don't know. Anyway, I think the 20-year anniversary is coming up, so it might have been 2000. My brother had the gall to tell me that that Princess Diana Bear was his. I was like, fuck you, Bert. That shit was not yours. I was the Princess Diana fan, and now I am a half a millionaire.
Okay, so I see it for $17 on eBay.
Now, if you would like to borrow money, Bethany, just like get your order in early before I extend this.
Here's one
to
on
my family.
For $5. No. I found one for $250 with no bids on
half
it.
Half a million.
Is it a rare first edition 1997?
It is. It's the 1997 doll.
Okay. Why are some of these $2 and some of them are $25,000?
Well, because the 1997 one was the rarer one because it was made when she was still alive, I believe.
Oh, some of these are $39,000?
I told you.
$665,000.
Yes.
What is going on? Okay, here's my question.
Yes.
This is my question, and I don't mean to yuck your yum, but who is buying them? Because I feel like
people.
Okay, but I feel like I know a lot of people who have them. Like everyone invested in Beanie Babies thinking that they would get like a really huge ROI. Mm. But I've never met anyone who is in the market to have a basement tub filled with them. If you're someone who's looking to buy Beanie Babies, I want to know A, who you are, and B, why. and I'm not going to like attack you. I just am really curious.
You know, I sent this to my book club and one of the girls responded that there's this woman who will come and look or digitally, you know, on the internet, look at your collection and tell and appraise your Beanie Babies for certain values. This is this woman's
full-time
job. Who's
buying them?
People, Bethany, Beanie Baby people.
Who has a dearth of...
I mean, I could say the same for classic cars. Like, they depreciate the second you drive them off the lot.
No, you couldn't because there are classic car shows. There's one at the Oceanside Long Island Railroad train stop every Sunday.
I bet there's a Beanie Baby show.
I've never heard of people getting together to Beanie Baby conventions. You hear everything about people selling them. You hear nothing about people buying them. And again, I don't want to attack someone who buys them. I want you to, but I just want to know who you are.
Beanie Baby convention. There's YouTube videos about Beanie Baby conventions. There's all sorts of articles about how to sell your Beanie Babies.
Who's buying them?
Oh, shoot. There's one from the Wall Street Journal that says, sorry, collectors, nobody wants your Beanie Babies anymore.
I don't throw your phone. I'm just saying that but it seems like people, I don't know. Will you just let me know if you sell it? And I want to shake the person's hand who buys it.
Did you do anything fun this weekend? Or did you watch anything good on the internets or on your Fire Stick?
I watched the WAP video.
What's the WAP?
It is Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion's new video for wet ass P word I won't say.
Pussy.
You go. That's the word. Have you watched it?
I've only seen a piece of it. I saw a little on TikTok.
Kathleen, will you pull it up right now on your telephone?
Sure. I love Cardi B. It reminded me how much I should have really been listening to her last album on repeat during COVID.
This video makes me so uncomfortable and I can't stop watching it. It's
WAP.
Yeah.
WAP.
That's the one.
Okay.
It's gorgeous. Tell us how you feel as you start watching it.
It didn't even go into a... Oh, no. This is a reaction video. God damn it, YouTube. God. Official.
That's the one.
There was no commercial, and that's how I knew. It wasn't legit. Skip survey. Music videos. Here we go.
They're heading into a mansion.
Oh, these gardens are truly beautiful.
Yeah, I like the water.
Oh, shit.
Look at the water feature.
Oh, shit, the water's coming out of the titties on the fountain. Tiffany blue.
I know.
Ooh, sculptures of butts. Oh, mammary glands are leaking everywhere.
Everywhere.
They look beautiful. Oh, tigers. The floor is a cement tile in a zigzag pattern.
I love that they're like feeling each other up, and the word gushy is constantly being said, and you're just looking at the linoleum and the textiles in the house.
I'm sorry. Okay, Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B, they look really beautiful, and I'm excited to hear from Cardi B again. So
it's, yeah. Mm. The video is gorgeous. It makes me super uncomfortable, and I could not stop watching it. It made me filled with shame. And I could not stop watching it.
I love the sexy sex. Makes me think of how I should do the sexy sex more often.
It's not even like the sexy sex. It's like the raunchy, like in your face, swipe your nose like a credit card kind of raunchy. Yeah.
Through someone's butt cheeks. Yep.
Through someone's wap, wap, wap.
Oh.
Through someone's.
That's different.
You know.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah, that's. Yeah. Bethany, can you share some of the lyrics from your new favorite song with us?
Hop on top, I want to ride. I do a Kegel while it's inside. Spit in my mouth, look in my eyes. Mm. This P is W, come take a dive. Tie me up like I'm surprised. Let's role play. I'll wear a disguise. I want you to park that Big Mac truck right in this little garage. Beep, beep. Anyway, what'd you watch over the weekend?
There's a new series on Netflix. It's called Connected, and I only saw the first episode, but Bethany, it's fascinating. I think there's 10 episodes. It's hosted by this really sort of quirky, nerdy guy. I can't remember
Nick Cannon?
No, sorry.
Yeah, he doesn't get to be the host of everything anymore.
No, he doesn't. And the first segment is about these birds in Delaware that can predict hurricanes. Science. Yeah, it's like everything that Bill Nye's show should have been doing but couldn't.
Yeah,
Bill Nye's Netflix show, they just couldn't get it together. I don't even think a second season came out. I mean, I love Bill Nye. I love him to my core, like to my fifth grade core.
Yeah,
but his show is not very good, so everyone needs to start watching Connected.
I didn't even realize Bill Nye had a new ish show out.
Yeah, like 2 years ago, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
When environmental science was everyone's hot topic before Corona.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came out with a show.
Yeah. Have you found yourself looking back at old photos and being like, we were allowed to put our arms around each other?
Oh, yeah, sure thing. And every time I watch a movie, I'm like, what?
Uh-huh.
People that aren't related to each other are sleeping in the same room? Yeah. Get out of here.
Do you remember when we used to hug each other hello? Like hug people we didn't know hello, and then we'd go to a buffet?
I know. You know, I...
Like we'd eat sneeze food.
Where sneezes were like the least, like everyone was afraid of sharks because of Shark Week. And now it's like, sneeze.
Yeah, totally.
Sharks are small potatoes compared to COVID.
I know. We'd be lucky if sharks were our biggest problem.
You know, but also like shark bites in America, Florida, it's a hot spot for COVID. A lot of shark deaths and a lot of COVID deaths in Florida.
Wow. That's a Venn diagram with an overlap. Well done, Kathleen.
Do you know 33% of the world's shark bites happen in Florida?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why. Because so many beaches per capita?
Something like that. I bet 33% of the world's COVID deaths are approaching that statistic too.
I mean, they're getting there. They're working hard at it.
Hey, hey, Governor DeSantis.
Do you have a follow-up or do you just want to say, hey, hey, Governor DeSantis?
No, that's it. I don't have a follow-up. That's it. Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
Change is something that's really hard for me. I know it's also very hard for you. And that is why going to therapy has saved my life, because I can talk through things that I would never, ever talk through with any of my friends or family.
People think that therapy has to be crazy expensive, but it doesn't. Talkspace is online therapy, and it's here to give you support, especially right now when you really shouldn't be leaving your house and, you know, going and meeting new people.
Yeah.
Talkspace meets you where you're at, both physically and, like, emotionally.
Stop waiting. If you've been waiting for the world to get back to normal to find a therapist, you don't have to. Talkspace is here for you right now.
And therapy isn't just for people who have mental illness. Everyone can benefit from therapy. Therapy can be problem solving. There's so many ways that therapy can benefit you.
And thanks to Talkspace online therapy, finding a licensed therapist is easier than ever. Get matched with your perfect therapist right from your device and connect with them on your own schedule from anywhere at any time. And better yet, 1 month on Talkspace is the same as a single in-person therapy session. 1 month.
Talkspace therapists have experience treating depression, anxiety, substance abuse, trauma, relationship issues, food and eating, and much, much more.
Talkspace is also secure and private, using the latest encryption technology to store client information.
The bottom line is that we all need someone to talk to, and Talkspace wants to give the licensed support that we deserve at a price we can afford.
And as listeners of this podcast, you can get $100 off of your first month on Talkspace. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com or download the app and make sure you use the code TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, to get $100 off of your first month and show your support for the show.
One more time, that's Talkspace.com and then use the code TASTE.
All right, Bethany, are you ready for it?
I'm ready for it. What am I ready for? Bring it.
The Wild Wild West's hygiene habits were definitely wild.
Okay.
And you know, upon reading this article, I don't even think that they were all that wild. It sounds a lot like me during COVID. Like the
last week I asked you when the last time you had showered was, and we were recording on a Friday and you had said Tuesday.
Tuesday.
You said Tuesday. Mm.
Ask me again today.
When's the last time you showered, Kathleen?
Today's a Monday. I showered on a Friday night. I had a very busy weekend of napping.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
do you rinse at all? Do you do any rinsing or do you just let nature take care of itself?
Well, I'll tell you what. Today I have on a new blouse and I didn't want to put dirty armpits into a new blouse. So I did wash my pitters in the sink, which I find very annoying because I used to use hand sanitizer in my pitters, but now that's a hot commodity. So I can't waste it in my armpits.
Yeah, it's like gold.
It's like gold. Yeah, so.
Yeah, you can't wash your body with diamonds.
Yeah, I didn't want to soil my new blouse with stinky pitters. So I did a pitter wash in the sink, but you know.
You're a lady.
So, Bethany.
Yeah.
What do you think about when you think of the Wild Wild West?
Okay, I think about cowboys roping things.
Yes.
I think about the Oregon Trail mm-hmm. on my PC uh-huh. growing up.
Yep.
I think about lawlessness. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about a lot of people traveling in dust.
Yes.
But not a lot of creature comforts.
No, not a lot of creature comforts. So all of those things that you just said are actually, they're like pretty on point.
Yay.
A lot of people, when they think of the Wild Wild West, they might think of the TV show from the 60s, which has been described as James Bond on horseback.
Who thinks of that? No one thinks no one thinks of that. This article thinks you think of that.
Our dads might think of that. I mean, my dad was a big fan.
When you hear the term Wild Wild West, you might think about the Will Smith motion picture starring Kenneth Branagh.
I forgot about
no
that.
No one thinks
also,
of that.
Also, a lot of us think of the Oregon Trail, which is what you had previously mentioned.
Yeah.
Wait, did you know that the Oregon Trail was developed by the Minnesota Education Computing Consortium, as a computer game for Apple to specifically teach children about pioneer life. It wasn't just a game for fun.
Those are my people, man. The Midwest.
Crazy. Crazy.
That's awesome. I had no mm-hmm. idea. Yeah, I love the Oregon Trail. And there was, when I used to work at my first radio job, they had released it online. You could play it like a novelty version online on Google. And there was an entire morning show that I don't remember doing because I was just playing the Oregon Trail the whole time.
No.
There's some hoes in this house. There's some hoes in this house.
There's some wagons in this house. There's some wagons in this house. So just a quick brief history in case people are confused about what time period the Wild Wild West was, because I was confused. I'm not very good at history.
Yeah.
I did a quick.
Sure.
A quick glance back.
Way back?
Way, way back. So the colonies were settled. We have the 13 colonies, blah, 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 right? Okay.
The original ones, yeah.
Then there's a push to keep going west, most notably from the 1849 Gold Rush. Now, if you're a sports fan,
yeah.
a sports ball fan, you may equate this with the San Francisco 49ers, right? Sports ball.
Yeah.
But also President Jefferson, he finalized the Louisiana Purchase. That mm-hmm. was the purchase of, you know, the state of Louisiana and the surrounding yeah. area. That was finalized in 1803, and that's also when Lewis and Clark began their journey to the west, you know, also to the Louisiana area. That's where they met Sacagawea, right? But really, we're talking about the 1830s, 1850s, when the gold rush, when everyone in America was like, I'm going west to be rich, right? Okay.
Cool. Okay.
That's what we're talking about.
Gotcha.
And the Wild Wild West is kind of a fun name for the period. But if you want to do more research on this time period, things you should Google would be like American frontiersmen, American expansionism, colonial frontiersmen, that kind of stuff.
Is this the same time when they would shoot you if you stole a horse?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was, you know, lock and loaded. that's where it comes from, you know, cowboys.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. 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 Okay, cool. Cool, cool.
So geographically, we're talking about Mississippi, Texas, the Rocky Mountains, the West Coast, Southwest America. So, you know, places where cowboys would have lived once upon a time, right?
Sure. Yeah. Where people who lived here first already existed. And then we kind of came in and we're like, hi, we're here now.
Also, one interesting thing I learned when I was doing some research before I get into the really discussing hygiene habits is that cowboys and what we think of as cowboys is totally whitewashed. And despite what movies suggest and TV suggests, as many as 1 in 4 cowboys were black, because African-American slaves that worked on plantations, they often migrated west with their owners who wanted to move, and then they became ranch hands.
Whoa! No one tells us that.
I know. No one tells us that. This is where our history books need to be, rewritten, especially.
Yeah, totally.
Particularly, rather.
Yeah.
So, enough history. History, bleh. Let's talk about hygiene habits.
Yes, let's do it. Because none of us are following them right now, especially Kathleen.
Especially me. So fresh, clean water was hard to come by in the Wild Wild West, which is not surprising, which meant bathing was done rarely. And in fact, it wasn't uncommon for people to bathe only once a week.
It makes sense. Like, you come across a river and then you get in it, right?
I guess.
But think how gross that must have been, because you're on a horse all day, just sweating on a horse.
I don't think that once a week is that bad. Once every 2 weeks would really make my eyeballs go wah, wah. But once a week, that's like, it's normal. It's normal.
No, it's not. That's not normal. Define normal. Normal now? No. Normal then? Okay, probably. But gross? Yeah, there's probably some aromas.
I mean, like children. How often do you bathe children? Once a week?
I think you should bathe them quite regularly.
I don't know. So while exploring uncharted territories, frontiersmen had some tricks to stay clean. Let me tell you about it.
Were they all men, by the way? Or are some of them frontiers people?
No, frontiers people. Oh, you're right. Thank you.
Some frontiers people.
Thank you for the correction, Bethany.
Frontiers folks.
I recognize what you were saying, and I will think about that moving forward.
Sure.
I'm glad you're not going to cancel me.
You recognize the patriarchy of the Wild Wild West?
Yeah. To clean their teeth, they used spitting chewing tobacco.
Oh,
today we all know how addictive tobacco can be, but back then there was a good reason why people chewed it, because it kept their mouths moist in dusty and dry conditions. You know, they're out in the fields, there's a lot of dust around.
That's like in the movie Cube, when they all get stuck in this cube and one of them has the idea to cut the button off of their jumpsuits and suck on the button to keep the saliva moving around in their mouths.
Oh, that's, I've never seen that movie, but that's a brilliant move.
You should. It was a low budget classic.
Also, getting a good night's sleep, that's important for hygiene, you know, rest and, you know, different types of bodily functions.
Sure.
They slept in straw and hay beds. It was kind of like a cot on the go.
Yeah. I mean, it's what Jesus slept in.
Better than sleeping on the floor. But the trouble is that hay is not very sanitary, because all sorts of little bugs and lice type creatures can get into the warm straw.
Oh.
And it is a perfect nesting ground for insects and fungi and all sorts of stuff.
So now they're sleeping on just like little beds of infestation.
Little beds of infestation, and they don't shower.
Okay, great.
So how did they keep their bodies clean? Where did the soap come from? You know, Bethany, you and I, we just walk down any drugstore aisle and we're like, oh, we get liquid soap, we get bar soap, we get the soap with the little crunchies in it to scrape away our skin.
Yeah, exfoliating.
But soap wasn't, you know, a thing that was easily to come by in the Wild Wild West. What they did use was animal fat mixed with certain types of plants, mixed with certain types of herbs.
Okay.
They had to boil it all together.
I learned that from Fight Club, but they used people, right? Didn't they use people in Fight Club?
I've never seen the movie Fight Club.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's good. I would recommend it.
Okay. Thanks. I'm going to put it on my list of 10,000 other things I need to watch. To make the soap, they had to put it in a pot and then boil it for a couple of hours and scrape off the top, and then you are left with soap.
That's one thing I've never actually understood the process of making. I know it involves fat, but it's upsetting. But yeah. I should know. I should know how it's done.
Kind of like when you're making pulled pork, you got to scrape off the fat on the top to get to the good stuff underneath.
Yeah. Also not something I know about, but sounds awful.
So the ladies doing their hair.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to have fresh hair. But the frontiers people didn't have this luxury. So to wash their hair, men and women would use whiskey mixed with castor oil.
Don't waste whiskey. don't waste your whiskey. You might need that for like an aching tooth or, you know, like a baby. Sometimes your baby's teething and you got to rub something on the gums.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that later. But also, women used heated pencils as curlers because you got to keep your curls.
That makes sense. That's very smart.
Yep. Also, speaking...
I do like how even in the midst of like traveling across the country with nothing, women still had to be like, but we got to look pretty.
Yeah, speaking of wanting to look pretty, women today love to get some sun. You know, that sun-kissed look is very popular. Not for women in the Wild Wild West era, because it was also the Victorian era, and they like to look pale.
Mm-hmm. Those are my girls. Protect that skin.
Those are your girls. So they wore clothing where they were covered from head to toe, all the way to their arms, skirts long, covering their legs. They wanted to look pale, even when they're crossing these goddamn rivers and their covered wagons. It's just crazy.
But you know what? I did pretty much the same thing when we were in the Grand Canyon. Mm. I wore SPF fabric, a big old hat, and then I applied SPF every 2 hours on the dot. And I came out of the Grand Canyon in the middle of August with zero tan. And I was very pleased with myself because melanoma is real.
Well, I will tell you, when I was reading some of these facts, I was like, you know what? Bethany and I have already experienced this, and it's called hiking the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning.
So hot, so dusty. You just absolutely want to die.
Yes, it's bad.
You just absolutely want to die, but you have to keep going.
Yeah.
You have to keep going so you get out of that.
And they didn't have a bladder backpack where you could like pull a hose out of your backpack and then drink warm water.
We had that luxury, didn't we?
Mm-hmm, we did.
Okay, so the Wild Wild West, everybody knows this from watching cowboy movies. It was dusty. The one thing that they did have to help them breathe and to help their eyes, you know, stay dust-free was the bandana.
Ah.
We owe bandana fashion, aka the cowboy handkerchief, to the frontiers people.
And now everyone's wearing it again. History repeats itself.
It all comes full circle. The cloths and scarves that they used to protect their faces from sand and dirt is what we know today as the modern day banana. I mean, bandana. Even dogs are wearing it these days.
They're so fashionable, those doges.
I have a friend who made a lot of money selling dog bandanas on Etsy. Like, this is no joke.
People love their dog to be fashionable and adorable. Look, if the kittens wore bandanas, I would put them in bandanas all the time. You know I would. And top hats.
Well, my friend who makes the dog bandanas, she made a kitten bandana for Cannoli. It was darling. But I put it on Cannoli and she just sat there like...
Yeah, Loki wore his for like a little bit. It was super, super cute. But once he realized what was happening, he panicked and tried to kill it. And then he thought he was dying and I had to take it off. So now we just put it on for like special occasions.
Let's talk about saloons. This is where it gets really exciting.
Okay.
Alcohol was used to sanitize things as well as for drinking. So, you know, college.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Like when Meredith in The Office tried to drink her hand sanitizer.
Oh, poor Meredith.
I know.
To drink alcohol, cowboys and frontiers people, they went to saloons. Women weren't really welcome there, but whatever. That's besides the point. Unless you were an entertainer or a sex worker.
A lady of the night.
A lady of the night, yeah. Saloons were not the most sanitary places. Shocker. Poor quality liquor that they served at saloons was called rot-gut.
Oh.
Blech. Rot-gut.
Rot-gut?
Rot-gut. Also, saloons had these towels on top of these rails. And when we think of towels on bars, we usually think of a modern day, like the bartender's going to, you know, wipe the bar down and all the people spilled drinks, you know, whatever.
Yeah, he needs something to do with his hands when he's telling, you know, Law & Order Law & Order SVU about like the guy that he remembers perfectly, even though the guy came in three weeks ago during like a busy bar night. Yeah.
They always remember. So instead of cleaning off the bar top, the towels or the towels kept on saloon bars were instead used for men to clean their beards, and they weren't replaced very often. So you just went in and used this communal beard towel.
Oh, and if you know a man with like a thick beard, you know that they just capture
scents.
Everything. Yeah. Oh, that's not good.
Fungi. Blah. The whiskey that was sold in American saloons was a combination of burnt sugar, alcohol, and chewing tobacco.
Oh, God.
That's what you were drinking.
It's awful. You had to really just want to get drunk. And after a while, you just don't care.
And cactus wine was a popular drink that was made from a mix of tequila and peyote tea.
So that's going to fuck you up.
And as much as alcohol is one of my favorite topics ever, I have to share this thing that I'm finding super interesting. The popularity of men grooming their beards and hair partly has to do with the Wild Wild West.
Why is that?
That is because someone could tell how long you had been traveling, aka, you know, how tired you were from a very long journey by the length of your hair, particularly in men, because they would cut it short and then they would be traveling without access to, you know, grooming facilities or whatever. And so cowboys and pioneers started to take care of their hair and beards because they realized that they were more comfortable when their hair was trimmed and groomed and when their beards were trimmed and groomed.
That's interesting.
Yes.
And it's also interesting, Kathleen, how many parallels there are between this and where we are right now in quarantine.
Yeah.
Which is like there are so many people out there, especially guys, who are trying to figure out how to cut their hair. Because guys stereotypically have shorter hair and it's clearer when it has gotten really, really long.
Yes. And because COVID, they don't have access to barbershops and hair salons and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really going to miss when my husband doesn't need me to cut his hair anymore. It's like a like a child going off to college. You're like, okay, well, I'll just stay right here. I guess you don't need me.
How are you with cutting hair?
I'm so good. Let me tell you, I'm going to open up my own salon. I'm a little snip snip here, snip snip there. He looks like a male model.
Amazing.
He's never had a better haircut.
It's a skill. It's a skill. Dennis cuts his own hair. I don't have to worry about it. I cut my own hair. He doesn't have to worry about it. It's all good.
So sophisticated, well-groomed men. It was a product of the Wild Wild West. Thank you, frontiers people.
Unless you're someone who likes a grizzled, you know, dude with a man bun, then you're very angry at the Wild West.
Yes, 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 you are. Dental care and pulling teeth. The dental procedures of the Wild Wild West were actually quite extreme, and it makes me very thankful for the dental experiences that we have today. Gentle listener, if you are someone who's afraid of the dentist, listen to this. Just listen to this. It's a good reason to go see your local dentist. If you had a cavity as a frontiers person, they would just pull your tooth out. That's it.
That was it. Just no second chances.
Yep. No second chances. They give you a little bit of whiskey to dull the pain, and then that's it. They just pull it out. So pretty soon you're toothless like my mom's cat.
I wonder how much whiskey they brought with them as they started out, because they were using it for bathing too, but then now they're also using it to numb the pain. I feel like they were going through whiskey willy-nilly.
Yeah, well, you know what? You could get drunk pretty quickly on whiskey, so you weren't drinking like, you know, like a full glass of wine or a full beer.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe a barrel.
When you accidentally buy wine product instead of wine at the grocery store and you drink an entire bottle and you wonder why you're not feeling anything.
Like when all you have in the cabinet is cooking sherry and you're like, well, this will do. And then you don't get drunk at all.
My feelings are still here.
So after all of this, I have to tell you that frontiers people, even when they did have access to bodies of water for extended periods of time, they didn't shower or bathe or whatever more than once a week. Why, you ask?
Why?
I'll tell you why. They actually believed that bathing too much was unhealthy and would cause them to be sick.
Oh.
They had theories that when you were too clean, that your pores would open up, further exposing you to bacteria and diseases.
Oh, I kind of see that. So they thought that the grime was a protective covering, plugging all the access ports.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's do some Wild Wild West vocabulary, some cowboy vocabulary. You ready?
Okay.
Have you ever heard of the term belly aching?
Belly aching? Yeah. My mom always accused me of doing it.
Oh, that's because you're from the Midwest.
Had you not heard the term before?
No, never. Apparently it means to complain persistently.
Yeah, that's what I used to do and still do to this day.
Now, the cowboys might have used it in a sentence like this. Now, I ain't just belly aching. Them rattlesnakes will bite your hand off if you touch them.
That sounds right. That sounds accurate.
Yeah. A more modern use. Please stop belly aching about the commercials getting unbearably loud on Hulu.
Yeah.
Everyone has to deal with it.
Yeah. That's inaccurate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why are they so loud?
It drives me crazy, Bethany.
And if you're listening with headphones on, oh, heaven forbid.
It drives me so crazy. I go on Twitter and complain about it all the time and I see other people complaining about it. And Hulu literally does nothing.
Yeah. They don't have time for you.
All right. Another cool vocabulary word I learned. Caterwaul.
Caterwaul. Caterwaul.
Do you know what that means?
I think it's a vocalization of some kind.
Yes. It's very bad singing or shrill moaning.
I don't know. That's amazing.
So the cowboys might have used it in a sentence like, y'all got to tend to that goat. It's caterwauling like the day is long. More modern use might be, my neighbors are so weird. Their sexcapades sound like a caterwauling goat.
That's very good. Let's bring that word back.
Other vocab words, fandango, highfalutin, hankering.
What does fandango mean besides the website for tickets?
It's like a party with lots of dancing. It's a based off of a Spanish word. It's like, you know, very festive.
Oh, fandango. I didn't know that. That's cool. I like that.
It's fandango. Didn't that used to sell movie tickets?
Yeah, it was movie tickets.
Yeah, you're going to go out for a night. You're going to have a fandango at the movies, a party.
Is it a type of dance too, or am I thinking of tango?
No, I think fandango. I know it's a Spanish word. It comes from Spanish origins.
Cool.
We should look into this. Maybe I should do more research before I do a podcast.
No, I mean, we could look it up, but we had to shut down everything on our individual computers to keep our podcast audio from crashing, and so we can't actually look anything up right now.
No, we can't look anything up, so I'm just gonna keep going forward.
Yeah,
just a few more quick things.
Yeah,
feral camels used to roam in Texas. Did you know that?
Feral camels? No, where did they come from?
They came from the desert, because Texas is a desert land, and they just lived in Texas, you know, that like once upon a time Pangea, maybe Texas was connected to the Middle East. Anyway, there were camels in Texas, feral camels.
And then they just all died out?
They all died out, and some of them were sold to the Ringling Brothers after the Civil War.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. The last really cool thing I learned about the Wild Wild West is this thing called, it's a natural phenomenon called St. Elmo's Fire or Foxfire. Do you know what this is?
I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is. I know it used to be a TV program.
No, I'm not talking about the 1985 drama / romantic film running 150 minutes long about a group of recent college graduates embarking on a series of misadventures in the real world. That's not the St. Elmo's Fire I'm talking about.
It's not that one. Okay, gotcha.
St. Elmo's Fire, according to Wikipedia, is a weather phenomenon in which luminous plasma created by a corona discharge from a sharp or pointed object connects with an electrical field in the atmosphere and it glows.
Oh.
Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But picture a ship. St. Elmo's Fire was a natural phenomenon first associated with ships. So you know when you see pictures of old-timey ships or in movies, like pirate movies, it almost looks like the wood that the mast is hanging on and the big piece of wood that goes up in the middle looks like the tips are on fire.
Yeah.
Right? A little bit sometimes. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah.
That's because pointed objects look like they're glowing because of this natural phenomenon called St. Elmo's Fire. And that is also because St. Elmo was the patron saint of ships. But in the Wild Wild West, it happens on the tips of cattle horns. And people traveling, these soon-to-be settlers, were like, what the hell is that? It looks like the field is on fire. It was the tips of the cattle horns that were on stormy nights when there's a lot of electricity in the air. The air was fully charged, and then leaves and blades of grass and the tips of cattle horns, they would glow.
So is it from actual contact with electrical particles, or is it just like an optical illusion?
It's electrical particles in the atmosphere. It's not an optical illusion. It's really happening.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
I wonder if it hurts.
I don't know. You got to ask the cows.
I guess. I had no idea that's what it was.
They'll probably only tell you one thing, Bethany.
What?
Moo.
You got me on that one, Kathleen.
Moo.
We all learned something today.
I need to shower more.
Kathleen, we are in the middle of a heat wave in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
Which means that if I go outside, I have to wear a mask on the bottom portion of my face and I'm sweating on the top portion of my face.
Yeah, it's a disaster.
It's a mess. And I have been finding that the only thing I do to make sure my face looks pulled together is using my Anastasia Beverly Hills brow pencils.
I've tried every single brow product out there, and Anastasia Beverly Hills is absolutely my favorite. It's also the number one U.S. brow brand, creating more natural, fuller-looking, beautiful brows for over 30 years.
Your eyebrows can change your entire face. If you're not wearing a stitch of other makeup, making sure that your brows are groomed, it's amazing what it can do. And Anastasia Beverly Hills has the brow pencil for you. So if you want those bigger, thicker brows that you see all over Instagram, use their brow definer. It has a triangular tip so you can fill in brows, easily outline them, and the little tip of the triangle, you can draw individual hairs. Or if you're like me and you like to do a more subtle brow, I use the Brow Wiz. It's thinner and it adds detail to your brows, plus extra dimension and like natural hair strokes.
I'm also pretty obsessed with the clear brow gel because after I use my brow definer, I put the gel over my eyebrows and I make them sticky uppy, like Mary-Kate and Ashley, you know?
Yeah, totally. Plus, clear brow gel is great for guys or anyone that has coarse brows because it tames the texture of the brow into shape.
You know, the product that I can't get enough of is the brow definer because I could sweat for days and my brows still look amazing when I use it.
And you will be sweating for days because we're in the middle of a heat wave. So go to AnastasiaBeverlyHills.com today and use promo code TASTE to get 15% off of your first order.
That's Anastasia Beverly Hills, and I'm going to spell that for you. A-N-A-S-T-A-S-I-A BeverlyHills.com, and you'll get 15% off of your first order. All you have to do is use the promo code TASTE at checkout.
Kathleen.
Yeah.
So there has been something that's been coming up for me more and more as I move into this project that I'm working on. Dennis and I are trying to sell Lonely Hearts, the short film we did, as a series. So we're putting together all the materials to pitch it as a series.
You know what? I don't think I knew that. That's very cool.
Yeah, we love it. We're excited about it and fingers crossed. But one of the things that has been kind of holding me back is the fear of it all working out.
Yeah.
And I looked into that because the fear of success is a very real thing and a lot of people deal with it. Mm-hmm. So my main source for this is this great blog I found called Psychology for Photographers and Other Creative Professionals.
Oh, how cool. What a great website.
It's great. Yeah. So it's written by a woman named Jenica McDavitt. She graduated with honors in behavioral neuroscience from Yale. And then she earned a master's degree in psychology, and she's also a photographer. So she...
Oh, she's just an everyday Joe Schmo.
Yeah, just casual. Yeah. So I'll link all of the sources in the show notes, but that in particular is a really great one. So the fear of success, this is something that is a psychological phobia, and it can stem from a bunch of different reasons. It could be the way you were treated in your childhood. It mm-hmm. could be trauma. It could just be certain personality traits you have. It could be some core beliefs you hold about yourself that are maybe not true. Low self-esteem could be part of it. Mm-hmm. And it's also called Jonah complex because there in the Bible, there's a character named Jonah. God wanted him to do something and Jonah was like trying to slip through God's fingers and not do that thing. He didn't want to like live up to his potential. So Jonah complex. In some cases... Just like a note, this fear of success may come from trauma. So if that's the case and you kind of make that connection, make sure to talk with someone who's qualified to help you work through these traumas. We are not, and it's certainly not something you want to try to do alone. So just FYI.
Yeah. Seek out a medical professional.
Yes, absolutely. So here's some signs to look for that you may have a fear of succeeding. Are you... procrastinating a lot.
Check.
Uh-huh. Are you making really detailed plans, but then not actually doing anything on the checklist of plans?
Check.
Do you refuse to or hate setting goals?
Check.
That's a big one for me. Do you conveniently forget deadlines?
Check.
Yeah, me too. Laziness, lack of motivation to complete projects, a lot of unfinished projects sitting around.
Yeah, check.
Same. Are you constantly second-guessing yourself?
Check.
Yep, me too. Perfectionism. Kathleen, I'll check that for you. Perfectionism.
Thank you. Uh-huh. I'll check that for you right back, baby yep, girl.
There it is. Mm-hmm. Avoidance of responsibility. Mm-hmm. Limiting yourself to jobs, projects, and relationships that you have long outgrown. Mm. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. And sabotaging yourself. So.
Bethany.
Yeah.
Before you move forward,
yeah.
Can I just talk to you?
Yes.
You get up in the morning. Let's take last week, for instance. Mm-hmm. You get up in the morning. And so you have a lot going on because you and I powwow about different things for this podcast. Mm-hmm. And then you powwow with Dennis mm-hmm. about different things for this project that you guys are working on, the Lonely Heart series. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? Do you feel overwhelmed or do you get right to work and then you don't stop working?
I feel overwhelmed. I get a panic. I get like a my chest feels really heavy and tight.
Yeah.
And especially if there's a lot of things that I know are going to be added to my schedule or things that need to get done, mm-hmm. That aren't like a one-time thing. Like you and I talked about a bunch of things we're going to try to implement on our social media. And we kind of came up with a calendar of, okay, every Monday and Wednesday, I'll do this. Every Tuesday and Thursday, you know, you'll do that.
Yeah.
And they're all manageable things, but seeing my calendar fill up with things that will always need to be done continually, I got this, it wasn't a panic attack, but it was like the tickle of a panic attack. Like I could feel that if I didn't take some deep breaths, I could quickly start panicking.
Yes.
And that happens a lot. Do you feel something similar? Have you ever felt that?
When I'm afraid of succeeding and actually getting everything on my checklist done, I do this thing where I spend a lot of time on something that doesn't matter. So we have a button on our homepage that's like, more about Bethany and Kathleen, and it's currently not working. And I must have spent on Friday like 2.5 hours trying to get this button working again. I was like, Jesus, now all the things on my list that I needed to get done because I got sidetracked by this one little thing. And I think that's what I do to purposely self-sabotage myself.
Yep, yep.
And it's kind of like the thing that you always hear entrepreneurs say, get something out there. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Yes.
I get caught up in the details and then I never get anything out there.
Yes.
And so for you, I'm wondering, like, where does this stem from? Do you think this stems from childhood? Do you think this stems from more of your life and your professional career?
Oh, I know exactly where it stems from. So for me, I know what my life looks like right now.
Yeah.
And I know that I like to know what my days hold. I like being able to look at Friday and say, I have these things scheduled. That's what my Friday looks like. Mm-hmm. I know what to expect. My fear is that if I become successful in the way that I qualify success, which is selling this show,
yeah.
having a successful podcast, you know, acting consistently.
Yeah.
I don't know what that will make my schedule look like.
Yeah.
And so my schedule might become unpredictable, and I don't like unpredictable.
I wonder if this is one of the reasons that feeds into you not wanting to have children. Because children are unpredictable.
Yeah, I mean, that I just don't have
the desire.
I just don't have a desire.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I was trying to like make light bulbs go off in your head that didn't exist.
No, it's definitely, it's like, I know that I can handle my life now.
Yeah.
But if life gets more successful and busier, I don't know if I can handle that. And so this feels safer than that.
Fear of change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this plays into like some of the causes that people don't want to attain the next level. There's a bunch of them. It could be like fear of the sense of more responsibility.
Yes.
That would come along with being successful. Mm-hmm. Fear that, this is a big one for me too, fear that living an extraordinary life would be too much out of the ordinary and other people wouldn't accept it from you.
I get that. Or another part of that for me is living an extraordinary life doesn't make you any happier than your normal life did.
That's a fear of yours?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. It's like it's the unknown.
Yeah.
It's why jump if you don't know what to expect?
Yeah. Or why jump if what you have right now is good?
Yep. Fear of seeming arrogant or self-centered.
Yeah.
I have noticed that if I post a picture on Instagram where I'm feeling really confident and I think I look kind of sexy and I look really powerful, I will lose so many followers.
Really?
Yep. Because there's a certain type of person who used to follow me because of my old job who saw me in a certain way. And so if I find a new, more powerful version of myself, more confident version, that's not what they want to see. And so they'll fall away.
Because they used to see you as being someone who was really vulnerable and very emotional
and self-deprecating and an aw shucksy kind of person.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, I'm not that great, whatever kind of person. And so now as I'm getting more confidence and feeling better about my life, people are falling away because that's not how they viewed me. And there was a period of time where I didn't want to grow at all because I didn't want people to see me as like thinking I'm really much better than anyone else.
Thinking you're the shit, girl.
Yeah, right. And it's just all of these little fears. So Does that make sense? Does that sort of...
No, it makes a lot of sense. Okay. Yeah. I mean, for a long time, I wasn't posting on social at all because I was just reminding people that I existed and then they would unfollow me.
Oh, no.
So I 100% understand, Bethany.
So, okay. So let's talk about how we can get over it.
Okay.
Like you said, imposter syndrome is a big part of it. And you can probably kind of dig into why you think you're afraid.
Yeah.
But
I think probably for a lot of people, they're afraid to be really successful because they think that their close friends and family won't like them anymore.
I think that can be it. Yeah.
Especially their romantic partners, because they will be a different, more powerful version of themselves.
Yep.
And people are threatened by that.
Yep. Completely. And you may lose people in your life as you become more successful. If people are threatened by that, you may lose them. But you also might inspire them to also grow. Mm-hmm. And you can't afford to not live your extraordinary life because you're afraid that the people around you aren't going to live up to it, you know?
Yeah.
So essentially, when you fear the things that go along with success, like detractors and new people and a busy schedule, you start to work against yourself. You mm-hmm. do want success, but you don't really want to like reach that place. So here's how to overcome it. This is according to that website I was telling you about.
Okay.
So answer these questions. You may have to write them down or just say them out loud. Success to me is what? So Kathleen, what's your definition of success?
Success is making that money.
Making more money. Great.
Okay.
Okay, great. What's your goal? Give a definite goal. Is there a dollar amount?
$300,000 a year.
Great. Great.
Do you know, okay. That's funny because I make $20,000 a year now, so...
So that's great. Yeah. Okay, now the second question you ask yourself.
Yeah.
Is this really necessary for, quote, success?
No.
Okay.
Well, Bethany, I want you to ask yourself the same question.
What?
Ask yourself the first two questions that you just asked me.
Okay, success to me is selling Lonely Hearts.
Okay.
To the Shudder Network.
Yeah.
And making the majority of my income from acting or producing.
Gotcha.
And is this really necessary for success? Yes. For me, yes, it is. Because
okay.
You either sell your show or you don't sell your show, right? Like it's, mm-hmm. That's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So then they recommend like grabbing your calculator and do some budgeting. So if it's a monetary amount for you, it would be like, okay, what are my costs every month? How much of an income would I really need to feel successful? Would it have to be $300,000 or could it be $60,000? Could it be $70,000? Do the actual hard math.
I mean, the hard math is that money doesn't make you happy.
But money makes life a little bit easier.
No, you are correct.
So you also don't want to discount what your goals are. Yeah. Because if you want to make more money, that's a viable goal.
Yeah.
Right?
Can I just say, I had a dream last night. I woke up very angry at you.
Why?
I had a dream last night that you were a secret millionaire and you didn't tell me. And I saw, I glanced down at a piece of paper. And it's not even that I wanted your money. I was just mad that you didn't tell me. And I glanced down at your bank account and I was like, Bethany, these dividends you're living off, what the hell? So mad at you.
I am not a secret millionaire.
Yeah, okay.
I can tell you that much.
Sure.
Okay, so then the next step.
Yeah.
Make sure you're not just grasping at a goal because it sounds neat. So there's a difference between what you think should be success or what like you want in a daydream
yeah.
and what actual success is. And it can be making $300,000 a year. But it also like...
How many Pelotons could one buy with $300,000?
Right. Just make sure that like you're doing it within reason and within something that's attainable and that actually would make you happy.
Yeah.
Then the next step is...
What's that song? Dust yourself off and try again. Try again. Right?
Who is that? Is that Aaliyah?
I mean, I think the point of the song is that, you know, just keep trying.
Yeah, got to.
Just like your dreams, how we've talked about this on the pod before, your dreams can change. And so can how you're going to measure success can change. Because once upon a time, a measurement of success for me would have been a job title. But now a measurement of success for me is like, how much free time do I have / am I my own boss? And that's really what I value now.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. And I think Corona has made a lot of people kind of look back at what they deemed success and what they really want out of life. This is a good time to do it.
What did your view of success used to be for yourself? Let's say 5 years ago.
I think like 3 Academy Awards at one point was like something written down.
Yeah.
And now that I understand what the Academy Awards are actually a measurement of, and mm-hmm. how it really is a game of politics. And it's a lot of
it's not a true way to measure someone's talent or how good a movie is. It's just how many friends in Hollywood that person may have. It's also a pretty racist it can be a pretty biased setup too.
Yeah, if you're nominated for an Academy Award, you're actively campaigning for it. Like, you're going to different functions. And so really to win an award like that, it's amazingly prestigious, but there's also so much work behind it. And so not winning it doesn't mean you're not as talented. It means that you maybe didn't know the right people or, you know, what someone's partner didn't like you at a party. There's just, it's so political. So that's less of a lofty goal for me now.
Gotcha.
So next on the list. Write down what feels scary about your goal. So, Kathleen, you want $300,000 a year. What about that or getting there or the process feels scary to you? How would your life change? Would you be more stressed out? Would you have people knocking on your door asking for money? Would you feel like you had too many options at your disposal? What to you feels scary about that amount of money?
Having to make more decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having to be more put together.
Yes. And for me, it's like the fear of what is my day going to look like? Is my day going to be more than I can handle?
Yeah.
Is my day going to spin out of control?
Also, where are you going to live? Like,
where are you going to live?
Where are you and Dennis going to live? What is your, and if you and Dennis work together, what's the relationship status that you guys can maintain?
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many scary things that come along with it, and we don't think about them, and so we don't see how big or small they really are because we're so afraid to look at them that mm-hmm. they just become that monster that you don't look at.
Yeah.
So then you write down. So for each thing that felt scary, you write down this thing that we've talked about before. If blank happened, what's the worst thing that would actually happen then? So, Kathleen, if you had so many more decisions you had to make, what's the worst that would actually happen?
I'd have to get an assistant.
Okay.
Cool.
Oh. You could afford one.
That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah. Like, if my schedule got really, really, really bad that I couldn't handle it, I would back out on something.
How glamorous would it be to have an assistant and you just call them up and you say, I can't get out of bed today. You make all my decisions.
Yeah. Okay. That's what they're hired for.
The best ever.
It's great.
Is that what you did when you had an assistant, Bethany?
She was great. I had an assistant for a period of time when my life was falling apart, and she would pick up my groceries and go through my mail for me because it was like, It was
just the simple things that you needed help
with. Yeah, I felt so overwhelmed by certain things. Like, my anxiety manifests in a lot of times not being able to go through my own mail. I just get really overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And so she would sit and go through my mail for me. And, like, it was wonderful. She's great. I miss her every day. So then you write down, okay, so everything that felt scary, what's the worst that could happen? And then you write down, here's how I could actually handle it.
Okay.
Okay, so if I'm getting bogged down and I need an assistant, all right, I would hire an assistant. Easy.
So let me ask you, let's say Lonely Hearts, the show is very successful. It gets picked up. How are you going to handle it?
I'm probably going to silently freak out privately and then have a much better process of scheduling my day. I think it would force me to grow up really quickly. But it would also...
You don't see yourself... Wait, hang on. Pause for a second here. You don't see yourself as a grown-up?
I don't think most people see themselves as grown-ups. Do you see yourself as a grown-up?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I would say 90% of the time I see myself as a grown up.
Oh, no.
10% of the time I see myself as a child playing dress up.
That's what I feel like. I feel like I stopped emotionally maturing at 17. And I mean that in terms of how I view myself. I see myself mm-hmm. as the way I was when I was 17 in terms of like my level of fear about the world, the amount of high emotions that I feel, the amount of things that feel unknown and scary. Mm-hmm. 17.
Maybe this is... You know what? This is a huge part of your problem because 17-year-olds aren't hugely successful.
Yeah, that's true.
Adults are.
Yeah.
So maybe the way that you view yourself instead of this creative, amazing, brilliant, smart woman getting shit done, you see yourself as a 17-year-old trying to convince everyone that you're a brilliant, smart, amazing woman getting shit done.
That's what it feels like. Yeah, that's totally what it feels like. It feels like I'm a 17-year-old trying to get people to pay attention to me and think that my ideas are worth it, even though I'm only 17.
And that loops back to imposter syndrome mm-hmm. because you feel like an imposter of what you actually are.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. I think you just nailed it. I never realized that, but you nailed it.
Does having a partner... Like, because I know having you in my life, like somebody that I have to answer to, you know, in terms of what I'm getting done every day, does it help that you have Dennis?
Yeah. Yeah, because there's another project that we're trying to pitch, and it's with a couple other people. And knowing that I have a meeting with them on Wednesday, like, I'm going to actually get the stuff done I have to get done. But if it was just me, I probably wouldn't do it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then the last couple steps, you just write down, here's how I could handle it. You know, like, how would I, you just problem solve. Mm-hmm. Here's how I would handle this hypothetical thing I'm afraid of. And then you list out people who would help you. That's because guess what? People want to help you. And then lastly, it's just coming to understand that change is going to make us uncomfortable, but that discomfort doesn't last forever. And you can always say no if you need to.
Changes.
Yeah. But give yourself a chance to blossom before you decide to cut yourself down. And I think that that's what we need to remember.
What are the ways in which you cut yourself down?
I tell myself that no one cares. Mm-hmm. Like, the ideas I have, no one cares.
Yeah.
You know, I think anyone who's pitched a show, you have to pitch typically a lot before anything gets picked up, unless you're Lena Dunham and your parents are artists and influential.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've already pitched a couple of shows that have been turned down. And so I think I just go, well, it's never worked out before, so why should that change?
Yeah, I understand that.
And just, you know, like, I think if you're someone who didn't win growing up, you didn't get voted any sort of king or queen, you didn't have a ton of friends, you don't see yourself as having a history of success. And so why should you be the one chosen again? You know, like, there's so many messages we get as a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of it. What about you? What are your messages you tell yourself?
Well, there's this one specific example. You know, utility boxes in cities, like those big gray things on the sidewalk. Well, Hoboken is having this contest where you can design one and apply, and the deadline is tomorrow. And I was going to work on it last week, and then I opened up my iPad to start drawing, and I was like, meh, I probably won't get it anyway. So I didn't do it. And it's like I probably won't get it anyway. So why spend my time doing something now when I could be like watching Netflix?
Right? Yeah.
How silly does that sound now when I say it out loud? But you know,
we all do it. We all do it.
Yeah. And sometimes when you're asking for promotion, gentle listener, probably you've faced this too. Just the sheer fact of going into your boss's office and having to have that awkward conversation will stop you from asking for it. Even though maybe your boss was already thinking of you for that position, you stop yourself from letting them know that you're interested because you're like, it's too hard. It's too hard to have that conversation.
I think that it's really worth digging into, and this whole conversation makes me incredibly uncomfortable, which is why I decided I needed to talk about it today, because I think that so many of us feel it and we don't need to be held back. Like, so many people want you to succeed, but you have to want you to succeed. And you can't get anywhere if you're the one holding yourself back.
Unless you're Liza Minnelli and you've got all sorts of doctors to prop you up and then lay you down at the appropriate times.
We should all be that lucky. Let's face it, Kathleen. We need to face it. Are you ready to face this?
I'm ready to face it.
Most women's razors don't cut it. They cut you, they give you bumps, they get dull really fast, and they're also just stupid expensive. We deserve better than having to choose between either overpriced brands or those skin-scraping disposable razors.
Yeah, in the past, I was so frustrated with my razor that I basically never replace it because I didn't like going shopping for razors because they were awful. That was until we met Athena Club's razor. Athena is my best friend. I've never met her, but I'm in her club and I'm her best friend.
Yes. Athena Club's razor is expertly designed with the sharpest patented blades on the market, and every razor head comes with 5 American-made blades. So you're going to get a super close shave with maximum comfort no matter where or when you choose to shave.
And the blades are enhanced with shea butter and a water-activated serum for a soothing shave that helps prevent razor burn even on the most sensitive skin types. The first time I used it, I was like, oh, this is what my legs are supposed to feel like.
Totally. And by the way, start with the razor, but explore the rest of Athena Club, because I love their razor, but I love it more because it introduced me to their Athena Club Dewy Body Lotion.
Yes.
It's so, so nice. And everything that they have is such a reasonable price.
Yeah. I'm obsessed with their Cloud Shave Foam.
Yeah.
I've never used shaving cream in my life because I'm like, it's not worth it. It's expensive and I just don't think it does its job. The Cloud Shave Foam, I will never live without it again.
The Athena Club Razor Kit is only $9. That includes two razor heads and a magnetic holder. And you can sign up for replacement blades right away. And it doesn't just stop at amazing razors. They have self-care essentials you need, like period care, body care, wellness supplements, and everything is made from clean and sustainable ingredients.
So stop using razors that underdeliver and switch to Athena Club. Sign up today and you'll get 15% off of your first order.
Just go to athenaclub.com and use promo code TASTE. That's athenaclub.com with promo code TASTE for 15% off. So I think my computer is overheating. So I put my computer on top of a bowl and then I put, you know, one of those like freezer packs you put in a cooler.
Yes.
I put that inside the bowl and then the computer on top of the rest. So I'm hoping, but then I realized that hot air rises.
You know, I did the same thing last week. I put ice cubes inside of a bowl and then I put a paper towel on top of them so the wetness wouldn't evaporate into my computer. And then I put my computer on top of the bowl.
Did it work? Because I feel like this isn't working.
It worked for just a couple minutes. And I put a fan too. So the fan was blowing directly into my computer fan. So I was fanning the fan.
That's a good idea because like hot air rises. So I'm expecting the cold air to go up into the computer, but that's not going to happen. So this is an imperfect solution, but you know what? It is what it is right now. Yeah. We're all doing our best, Kathleen. I don't know why you expect more of me.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't expect more of you.
I am 2 seconds away from a full-on meltdown. No. Like, we are having so many computer problems. I cannot even tell you. We started recording 2.5 hours ago, and it has been microphone problems, headphone problems, other headphone problems, computer lag time, Skype lag time, Zoom lag time, internet lag time. I'm at sixes and sevens. Nothing's going right. I'm about ready to throw my computer out a window.
Yeah. You know what? We don't have enough money to hire a tech guy, so this is it, Bethany. This is our reality.
The internet is our tech guy.
Do you want to do some role playing? I'm feeling a little silly. Let's just do it, okay?
Okay.
You sound really enthusiastic.
Spring it on me.
Okay. So Cosmo came out with an article today about how millennials are having sex, like a lot of sex. And 71% say they're satisfied with the amount of sex that they're having. But that leaves 29% that are not satisfied. Sure. And that is why we are here today, Bethany, to help the other 29%.
How are we going to do that? Let's do it. I'm in. Let's do it.
Before we get into some role playing, would you say that you are satisfied with the amount of sex you are having?
Yeah. Actually, Dennis and I just talked about this last weekend. We are both good.
You do it every day?
We are on the same schedule.
So you're banging every time
we both like the same amount and we are getting that amount. Yeah. What about you?
I feel like I'm not having enough.
Really?
I'm not having enough. No. It's like the medicines that make me not want to do it. But like then when I do it, I'm like, why don't I do this more?
Wait, but you don't want to do it. So then do you feel like...
No.
Or you do want to do it?
I do want to do it, but not until I do it. Does that
make sense? Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like once you get to the party, you have a good time. But like the preparation for the party is like, oh, do I want to even go to a party or do I just want to stay here?
Exactly. So I found this article on Cosmo that says role-playing sex ideas that you need to try at least once.
I need to?
Cosmo says we need to. And then the tagline for this article is asterisk bookmark page.
All right, Cosmo is out saving the world. Okay, throw some of these at me. Kathleen, you and
I
are...
Shake it out.
Yeah, let's say we're lovers. You and I are lovers. Mm-hmm. We are lovers who have no internet problems, no microphone problems, and no Skype lags.
Okay, so situation number one. According to Cosmo, this is a great way to role play in the bedroom. Here's the scenario. Getting it on with your manager or work superior.
Yeah.
Or work superior. Okay, this is weird. This is a power dynamic that I don't agree with. But anyway, Bethany, I'm your boss.
Okay.
Bethany.
Yeah?
I find your work very good.
There isn't anything I could do to make it better.
While it is very good, if you would like to be excellent, we could hook up right now. We could, Cosmo, what the actual F?
I know. Okay, can I be the boss? Can I be the boss this time?
Okay. All right.
Kathleen, get in here.
Okay. What's the problem?
I am very disappointed in your level of work.
Are the pigs loose again? I thought I made that crate nice and sturdy.
No.
Should I go out and wrangle them?
No, you shouldn't. You should stay right here. The gate is secure. In fact, you're the most secure gate builder that I've ever had in my employ.
Okay.
However, I am dissatisfied with the amount of clothes you're wearing.
Oh,
You don't like my crisp white J. Crew blouse and my mom jeans? They do not satisfy you?
You know what they are, Kathleen?
Uh-huh.
They're too much clothes. Take them off.
Okay. You know what? Reverse psychology. I'm going to take my clothes off. I hope this isn't making you uncomfortable. Ooh, I'm hot. Man, this tank top was covering too much of my body. Ooh, this mini skirt.
I thought you were wearing a J. Crew button down. Where that tank top? Why are you pulling random clothes you weren't wearing out of a purse?
Okay.
You're wearing the same amount of clothing and now you're just pulling clothes out of a purse.
Next scenario, next sexy scenario that Cosmo says we all need to try, the classic maid or butler.
Okay.
Okay. I'll be the butler.
Okay, I'll be the maid.
No, you're the mistress.
Oh, okay. I'll be the mistress.
Hello, Bethany. Here is your hard-boiled egg for breakfast.
Thank you. You may go now.
No, I may not go now. I want to do you now, Bethany.
Your impertinence. I did not hire you to talk back. I hired you to bring me my egg and to keep the chickens clean. Now, please go downstairs. You will not forget these rules again.
Madame, with all due respect, last week...
Did I give you permission to talk back? Downstairs, I said.
You told me to bring out my wiener when I brought out your hard-boiled egg. And I know you are a vegetarian, so I think it's the wiener in my pants.
Are you on a boat?
You know what? I don't know what I'm doing, Bethany.
Why is your voice doing this?
I am terrible at accents. Okay. Do you want to flip it? Flip it and reverse it?
Let's do one more. Give me a new scenario.
Okay. All right. Someone that you don't know. Cosmo, what the?
Like a guy named Ted?
Says, someone you don't know, get your partner to approach you as though you two have never met and you're complete strangers, and treat your body like they've never seen it before, and to take with you a frenzied lust, blah, 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 blah. Okay, whatever, we're strangers.
Okay.
Boop, ba, da, ba, da, walking down the street.
Excuse me, miss.
Hi.
Hi, is it supposed to rain today?
The radio said it was, but the weatherman said it's not. But I do have a bird that can tell hurricanes in advance. I learned it on Netflix and they said it's not, so I guess it's not.
Great, thank you. Bye. And that's me, because I'm sex negative for myself. Scene.
Was I not appealing enough as a stranger?
No, don't make it weird. It's not about you. It's not that you're not appealing. I just am like uncomfortable with the idea of like just meeting someone on the street. Because in my head, I was on 7th and West 21st.
Oh, okay. All right. I see it.
So, and I feel like that's like right by the Trader Joe's. And that made me feel uncomfortable having sex right there. But like if we, you know, but if I had met you at a different time and place, like we would have met at a hotel and things would have been different. But just at that point, I was just ready to go home because I just had my... Don't cry. Are you crying? Did I hurt your feelings?
No, I'm not crying. I'm checking the date on this Cosmo article because it's absolute bullshit. Because, you know, hello, me too, consent. Like, this didn't take account.
But here's the thing. Okay, but then that's one thing is, like, you can't kink shame people. Some people, you know, there's something really sexy about a power imbalance because it's like, you know, women who are strong in real life like to be dominated sometimes in, like, the bedroom. No. So, you know, you don't want to, like...
No.
Shame people for what they like to do.
You're correct.
But you're right. You also don't want to like reinforce negative.
This is a failed attempt. And it's no wonder I'm unsatisfied with my sex life.
Do you want Neil to come in and I can try to do one with him?
No, it's a very sore subject for us. And this would hit way too close to home.
Sore or less sore than the Peloton?
More.
More sore than the Peloton.
Let's get into some real news. Grey's Anatomy is coming back.
Wait, it left and was it still on?
It's coming back and it's fast forwarding to COVID.
Wait, did it ever go off the air?
No, it's just like the season ended, I think.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, great.
They're going to skip ahead in time. Isn't that exciting?
That's exciting.
I've never watched Grey's Anatomy a day in my life.
I watched one episode and the song at the end where like a lot of things happened and people reflected on their feelings while a song played. I was emotionally devastated and I didn't get over it for a couple days. I also think it was the winter time. So, you know, that played a role in it.
Yeah, I see.
What show do you wish would come back and do a Corona season?
Dawson's Creek.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dawson is the filmmaker. He's making a documentary about people, you know, suffering from COVID. And Joey is something. And Pacey's a chef. And he's making meals for people who are on the front lines. And it would be Jen's dead. So she can't die from COVID. So I don't know. What show do you wish would come back and cover COVID?
Gilligan's Island. They all can't leave the island for at least 2 weeks.
They're stuck on the ship that got them off the island after they finally got off the island.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like a 3-hour tour and then they got stuck on an island and then finally they got rescued by the professor made a coconut radio and they get off the island, but then they have to stay on the boat for 2 whole weeks.
And they're parked outside of San Francisco. They're just in mm-hmm. there.
Yeah. I think it would be fun. We would all get something out of it, you know?
Oh, Bethany, goodness gracious. I love your brain.
Thanks. I love your body.
Yeah, thanks.
I mean, and your brain, too.
I love your bangs.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank welcome. You. Mm-hmm. Thanks. I keep cutting them myself.
Would you like to come into my office? I have some important matters to discuss with you.
Yes. I have the TPS report you requested. Here it is.
I don't want that report. I want you to take off your bra, and you have to do it because I'm your boss and I control your salary. Do it now.
I'm literally not wearing one. So what else? Great. And I'm not trying to be
just a tease. I'm not trying to tease like all my other assistants.
I'm not wearing all my laundry is dirty. I'm not wearing any. I'm wearing. Look, you can tell. Kathleen.
Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
I learned that I'm awful at role playing. I think too much about it.
No, I think we're good at role playing. I just think that these scenarios were not super fun. If we had a different scenario, we could really hit the road and run with it.
I feel like if the scenario was something like you're in a competition to come up with the next startup and you and your teammate have 1 hour in this, you know, conference room of a Sheraton to come up with the next unicorn startup. And I would be like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm on this because now we have a plot, we have excitement and we have, you know, energy building up. And there's that like tension of, you know, wanting to get something right and like maybe potentially failing. And that's what really gets you fired up. I don't want this like I'm a maid and you're a butler.
Maxi pads for your armpits so you don't bleed through your gray t-shirts.
See, and now we can have fuck sex the rest of the time.
Ring lights where you don't see the little zero shape inside your glasses.
That's another one. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. You know, a collar that makes dogs intelligible, like on Up.
Soap that lubricates your thighs so they don't rub together in the summer when it's hot out.
Kathleen, you are an idea machine. That is why I want to have sex with you right now on this Sheraton floor.
A box that you put your feet into and then it gives you a pedicure and you don't have to visit the nail salon.
Kathleen, what'd you learn this week?
I learned that if you're looking to purchase some art, maybe from this expensive website called anthropology.com, all you need to do is Google image. You know, you can reverse image when you search on Google. Reverse image search the picture and you're going to find it in other places for much cheaper.
Oh, good. And then you don't support Anthropology because they're not a good company, we found out.
Did we? I forgot.
Oh, yeah. There was some stories coming out. Black employees.
Oh, yeah. They're awful.
Yeah. There was like a code word for black customers, allegedly, I think.
Oh,
so
God. Yeah.
And that's a great idea, Kathleen. That's a really, really good idea.
Basically with anything you want to buy.
Yeah.
Also, I know that certain websites like May Hair and
and what else?
May Hair is one, and Burled Barket, and some other websites like that. Gentle listener, you get what I'm saying. Basically, they change the name of the products that they have on their website to make it seem exclusive. Because if you search the name of the product, it's not going to come up anywhere. But it's not what the actual company making those items calls that item. And they sell it on Amazon for much like other – the actual company sells it on Amazon for much cheaper and then way
– May Hair
changes the title to make it seem exclusive and then ups the price.
Kathleen, you just blew my mind.
You can get it on Amazon for cheaper. Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Hot tip on getting things for your home. Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
Yeah. Okay, so I did learn that the Jodi Arias trial is incredibly entertaining to watch, and you can find like unedited entire trial footage on YouTube. I'm on day 20 right now.
Stop. Wait, you've been watching it like the raw footage on YouTube?
Yeah.
This just went up on Hulu this weekend. They, you know, Hulu has an extension with Discovery ID and they put this great documentary up, Episode One.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, she's just in the zeitgeist right now again. Yeah, it's fascinating to watch because it's salacious enough to be entertaining, but it's still real court. And so you're seeing actual court procedures, you know, where it's not like Law and Order SVU, which is an amazing program. But yeah, it's really, really interesting. So that was very interesting. And then also actually, oddly, I used Google image reverse search as well, because on Pinterest, so often the pins don't link back to the original website. Yeah. They just link to like a random web page. Right. Yeah. So it's just nice to like do a reverse Google image search on that as well. And very often you can find the original website that the pin came from.
That happens to me a lot. You know, some businesses can really make or break depending on how much they upload to Pinterest. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Oh, and one more thing. I was on an episode of my new favorite podcast, which is called Ghost Adventures Adventures, where the hosts Will and Kristen watch every episode of Ghost Adventures and then talk about it. And so they had me on, and it actually comes out came out today, which is as we record this, not today, but like it came out, it's out. So check out Ghost Adventures Adventures, and I'm on season 1, episode 7, The Edinburgh Vaults.
Do you think that there's a podcast called Babysitter's Club Club that I can be on?
You should start it.
Babysitter's Club Club?
You should definitely start it. And then we'll do one about the old, old, old show All in the Family, and we'll call it All in the Family's Family.
Or a solo podcast adventure called Golden Girls Girl.
The possibilities are endless. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I am Radio Bethany on Twitter, Miss Bethany Watson on Instagram.
If you want to follow this podcast, you can do so on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group in there. It's an amazing community filled with some really thoughtful, intelligent, and caring people.
You can send us an email if you have a question, you need advice, or you have a really funny story. We are going to be heading into the spooky season soon, so we're going to start soliciting for your scary, scary stories. You can send us an email, acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
We also have a snail mail. That is Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
And we have a phone number. You can listen to it because we play our voicemails at the end of every single show. Give us a call. And that phone number is 917-994-0353.
This podcast is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can find her on Instagram at @lit_fuck and on Twitter at @chargar.
Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is best in terms of the review. The one from Frankie, again, just made our entire week. So thank you for doing that. And this is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
That felt good. Well, before we bid adieu, Bethany, I want to give a shout out and a thank you to the Neon Dog Grooming and Market in Norwalk, Connecticut. We have a taste bud there who listens to the podcast. Her name is Lana, and she sent us the most amazing goodie bags of treats for our kitties, as well as 2 adorable mugs that say kit-t with a cat on it. Get it? Like K-I-T-T-E-A.
I love. Kitty. Thank you so much.
Kitty, thank you, Lana.
And taste buds. Here's what you had to say this week.
Hey, Kathleen and Bethany. I'm from Southwest Florida. I had to call in because you guys were talking about Judge Judy. I work at a private airport, and she keeps her private jet in our hangar. The first time she stepped off the jet, I was so nervous, but she is so, so cool. She is about 5'1" and usually travels with her 2 dogs and her husband. She is so smiley and kind when she lands, and once told me that I had the sweetest smile she had ever seen. We see her shopping in Publix, which is our grocery store, all the time. It's true that she is the highest paid TV host of all time. I think $147 million per year. It just goes to show that people can be so different in real life, and even those that are so wealthy can be so kind and generous. Anyway, love you ladies. Have a great week.
Hi, ladies. This is Lindsay. It is my first time calling in. I just had to stop the podcast that we were listening to, the latest Ghosty Boy episode, and let you know that I do happen to have the gift to be able to see ghosts, and it is so funny to be able to watch Ghosty Boys because they're so inaccurate, and oftentimes the ghosts are just as confused by them as to what they're doing. And they're always looking over their shoulder with their equipment, and I just find it absolutely hilarious to watch. It's the best comedy in the world.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Carlin. I was listening to the most recent podcast, and poor Kathleen was talking about how her MacBook Pro just completely crapped out on her and how expensive the new one was. And I am just sitting here in shock. I had to pause it because I just can't believe that they are $6,000. Like, what is that? That's crazy. I have a MacBook Pro. I've had it for over 10 years. I got it in 2009. My dad got it for me when I went to college because I originally thought art was going to be a career path for me. So
So I was in art school and they required a MacBook Pro with all of these different, you know, apps for it and everything. And I think he said it was like $2,000 and it still works like a charm today. So I don't know what the difference is, probably in quality, I would assume. But
hi, ladies. It's Sharon. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and cleaning my basement and listening to your podcast. And after a day of remembering that this is my daughter's one-year heartiversary, it's the day that she was strong enough to do her open heart surgery last year. So this time last year, I was sleeping next to her while she was just covered in tubes and lines, and she was intubated and she was so pale. And now she's this one-year-old who's bright and funny and full of vigor and gives me an attitude, and I can just picture her future. And she's going to have more open heart surgeries. And you guys really, really have kept me going, laughing, smiling, not worrying so much about everything. And you guys just do great topics and keeps me going. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, Kathleen and Bethany. My name's Angie, and I kind of lost my way from the Acquired Taste podcast and recently found myself back there. And I wanted to thank you guys for, it was a podcast that you did right after the first of the year about avoidance anxiety. I had it so bad. I had some problems with taxes, and I was behind since 2016. And today, because of what you guys said, I just kept thinking about Bethany and her saying, you know, what's the worst that can happen? And I did my taxes, and I'm so excited. Thanks again, guys. Bye.
Hi, Whip Girl Kathleen and Bethany. This is Taste Bud Dominique. So I hope you're both really, really well, and I'm sending you all a gazillion hugs. So I was just listening to the Zach Baggins Ghost Kathleen Come to Jesus web podcast. Sorry, I have no brain cells today. And so, Bethany, I totally feel your pain about pet insurance. I have something called a Care credit card, and I only use it for my babies because ain't nobody got time for life for pet insurance that's not gonna pay for anything. And the Care credit is just, it's an easy way for me to use in case I have to take all my three loves to the vet. So if that helps you, I hope it does. And I'll talk to y'all later. Thank you all for doing what you do, and I'll talk to you. Bye.